السلام عليكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. والله أسأل أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وأن يجعل نياتنا خالصة لوجهه. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى: ولا من يدعي شيئا يخالف الكتاب والسنة وإجماع الأمة. The author said, or that is, we do not believe the one who claims what disagrees with the Qur'an, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and the Ijma', the Islamic scholarly concession of the nation, consensus of the nation. كل عقيدة تخالف القرآن أو السنة أو الإجماع فهي باطلة. Every creed that contradicts القرآن, the way of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, السنة, or الإجماع, is invalid. وكل عمل بدني يخالف القرآن أو السنة أو إجماع الأمة فهو باطل. And every physical act that contradicts القرآن, السنة, or the consensus of the nation is invalid, is not true. ومقصدنا بالإجماع اتفاق علماء الأمة على أمر من الأمور. ومقصدنا من الإجماع اتفاق مجتهد الأمة. What we mean by the consensus is the consensus of the mujtahids, of the Muslim mujtahids. وأما العلماء الذين لم يبلغوا درجة الاجتهاد فليسوا معنيين بأمر الإجماع. لا موافقتهم ولا مخالفتهم لها أثر في انعقاد الإجماع ولا في عدم انعقاده. As for the scholars who do not reach the level of mujtahid, their sayings do not have any effect neither on the issue of neither on the establishment of the consensus, nor to say that there is no consensus on this issue. وَإِذَا كَانَ هَذَا حَالُ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَالْعَامَّةُ بِالْأَوْلَى. If this is the case of the scholars who do not reach the level of ijtihad, then the people who are not scholars are more so in the same situation. فَإِجْمَاعُ الْأُمَّةِ حَقٌّ. So whatever the matter if there is a consensus upon a matter, then this consensus is truthful. إذا كان إجماع على حكم فهذا الحكم صحيح. If there is a consensus upon a judgment, then this is a valid judgment. لأن القرآن دلنا على هذا ولأن حديث الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام دلنا على هذا ولأن الصحابة فعل الصحابة دلنا على هذا. Because this is what Al-Quran indicates, this is what the Sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام indicates, and this is what the doings of the companions indicates, the acts of the companions indicate. وهل المقصود إجماعهم على أي أمر أو إجماعهم على أمر ديني؟ Now when we say for them to come together and to have a consensus upon a matter, do we mean any matter or do we mean a religious matter? اختلف العلماء في هذا. There are differences in opinions among the scholars. بعضهم قال على أمر ديني. Some of them said on a religious matter. يعني أمر تكون معرفته من طريق الشرع. نص عليه الشرع. له علاقة بالشرع. Which means a matter which is related to the religion. If there is a consensus upon it, then it is correct for sure. وَقِسْمٌ مِّنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ قَالْ عَلَىٰ أَيِّ أَمْرٍ كَانْ. And some scholars said, if the mujtahids agree upon a matter, whether this matter is related to the religion or not, then it would be correct. ممن قال بالقول الأول أبو إسحاق الشيرازي وممن قال بالقول الثاني ابن الحاجب. Among those who said the first statement is Abu Ishaq al-Shirazi, a very famous Shafi'i scholar. Among those who said the second statement is Abu Amr ibn al-Hajib, a very famous Maliki scholar. فإذا ادعى إنسان شيئا يخالف الإجماع لا نصدقه. If anyone claims something that contradicts the consensus of the nation, we do not believe him. بل إن الإجماع دليل أقوى من حديث الأفراد. Not just that, the consensus of the nation is a proof which is stronger than a hadith narrated through one or two chains of narrators. The consensus is stronger than that. لأن الإجماع دليل قطعي. Because when the consensus takes place, then this issue is for sure correct. Period. فلا ينبغي الاستهانة بخلق الإجماع. So one should not take lightly the matter of breaching the consensus of the nation. كما فعل ابن تيمية, as ابن تيمية did. ابن تيمية خرق الإجماع في نحو 60 مسألة. Ibn Taymiyyah breached the consensus of the nation in about 60 different cases. ليس فقط مسائل العقيدة التي خالف فيها, بل أيضا في غير العقيدة. Not just in the area of the creed he breached الإجماع. In many other areas pertaining to the deeds and to the religious judgments, he breached al-ijma'. فخرق الإجماع ذنب كبير. Breaching the consensus of the nation is an enormous sin. أحيانا يكون كفرا وأحيانا لا يصل إلى حد الكفر. Sometimes it is blasphemy, sometimes it does not reach the level of blasphemy. لكن في كل حال هو ذنب كبير. But in any case, it is an enormous sin. لأن الله تبارك وتعالى, الله يجزيك الخير, لأن الله تبارك وتعالى توعد في القرآن من يخرق الإجماع بعذاب النار. Because Allah تبارك وتعالى threatened in the Quran the one who breaches الإجماع with the torture of hellfire. فخرق الإجماع ذنب عظيم. So breaching الإجماع is an enormous sin. وفي بعض الأحوال يكون كفرا, and sometimes it is blasphemy. والعياذ بالله تعالى. ولذلك إذا قال الشخص قولا, إذا اجتهد اجتهادا يخالف فيه الإجماع, يكون هذا الاجتهاد غير مقبول. So if someone makes an اجتهاد by which he deviates from the consensus of the nation, he breaches the consensus of the nation, in this case, this ijtihad would be invalid. It is not accepted. لذلك لا يقبل قول من قال إن معاوية ومن معه اجتهدوا في مقاتلة علي. This is why it's not accepted, it's not permissible to say معاوية and those who were with him made a valid اجتهاد when they fought against علي. كل اجتهاد يخالف النص فهو مردود, وكل اجتهاد يخالف الإجماع فهو مردود. Every اجتهاد that contradicts an explicit verse of Al-Quran or an explicit confirmed hadith from the Prophet or the consensus of the nation is rejected. It is not valid. العلماء قالوا لو فرضنا أن مجتهدا من المجتهدين لم يبلغه حديث من الأحاديث فاجتهد في مسألة فأداه اجتهاده إلى خلاف هذا الحديث الذي لم يبلغ. قالوا لا يجوز أن يعمل باجتهاده، لأنه لا اجتهاد في مورد النص. The scholar said, if a mujtahid did not know about a hadith, in general the mujtahid has to know the hadith that pertain to the judgments, the rules, but he might miss a hadith or two. So if he does not know about a hadith and he makes ijtihad about a matter, he comes to a judgment, he reaches a judgment that does not comply with the hadith because he does not know about this hadith, the scholars said, we do not go according to this judgment of this mujtahid, because a condition for the ijtihad to be valid, that there wouldn't be a verse of Al-Quran or a confirmed hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that mentions explicitly the judgment of this case. For the ijtihad to be valid in the beginning, there shouldn't be a hadith that gives the explicit judgment of this case, or a verse from Al-Quran that gives the explicit judgment of this case, and of course, not the consensus that gives an explicit judgment in this case. إذا كان هذا حال المجتهد فكيف إذا تكلم إنسان ما بلغ درجة الاجتهاد في أمور الدين فجاء بشيء يخالف النصوص الشرعية؟ لا يلتفت إليه، يرمى بكلامه في كل سهل وحزن. So if this is the case of a mujtahid, so how about the case of someone who is not mujtahid and he comes up with a judgment that contradicts an explicit verse or an explicit hadith or contradicts the consensus? For sure, the saying of such person would be rejected. It doesn't have any weight. مرة واحد من هؤلاء جماعة حزب التحرير كان تكلم أمام الشيخ عبد الله أنه يجوز للرجل أن يصافح المرأة الأجنبية من غير حائل. Once one person among these people called حزب التحرير, he talked to Sheikh Abdullah رحمة الله عليه that it is permissible for a man to shake hands without any barrier with a marriageable woman. الشيخ عبد الله قال ذكر له النصوص الشرعية الواردة في هذا ثم قال له بعد هذا كيف تقول يجوز. Sheikh Abdullah mentioned the explicit hadith pertaining to this issue, that this is not permissible. And he told him, after that, knowing about this hadith, you cannot say that this is permissible. How do you say this is permissible? قال هذا اجتهاد. He answered, this is اجتهاد. الشيخ قال له الاجتهاد لا يكون في مورد النص ولا بمخالفة الإجماع. الشيخ told him الاجتهاد wouldn't be valid against the explicit judgment mentioned in a hadith or a verse or against the consensus of the nation. سبحان الله. ما عرف ماذا يقول. He didn't know what to say. He kept silent. سبحان الله. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: ونرى الجماعة حقا وصوابا والفرقة زيغا وعذابا. The author said, we deem the jama'ah to be true and right, and the departure from it to be a deviation from the right course that will result in torture. هنا لفظ الجماعة تحتمل معنيين. Here, the term الجماعه can bear two meanings. يحتمل أن مراده بالجماعة إجماع الأمة. One possibility that الطحاوي means by الجماعة the consensus of the nation. وهذا تكلمنا عنه مخالفته ضلال. And we already mentioned that getting astray from the consensus of the nation is misguidance. ويحتمل أن يكون مراده بالجماعة طاعة الخليفة الذي ثبتت له الخلافة شرعا. And it is possible also that he meant by الجماعة the obedience of the caliph, that is religiously, which is considered religiously a caliph. لأن الخليفة إذا صحت بيعته الخروج عليه بعد ذلك لخلعه من الكبائر. Because if a caliph is appointed in the proper way religiously, then revolting against him to remove him from that position is an enormous sin. كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من خلع يدا من طاعة لقي الله يوم القيامة ولا حجة له، ومن مات وليس في عنقه بيعة مات ميتة جاهلية. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من خلع يدا من طاعة لقي الله يوم القيامة ولا حجة له، ومن مات وليس في عنقه بيعة مات ميتة جاهلية. من خلع يدا من طاعة يعني إذا ثبتت البيعة للخليفة ثم هو خلع البيعة تمرد على الخليفة لخلعه، هذا يكون حاله سيئا يوم القيامة. This hadith means, the first part of this hadith means that the one who revolts against the caliph which was established in a valid way as a caliph would be on the day of judgment in a very bad situation. لا يكون له حجة يوم القيامة. His doing wouldn't be supported by any religious proof on the day of judgment. He cannot defend what he did on the day of judgment. ومن خلع ومن مات وليس في عنقه بيعة مات ميتة جاهلية. يعني ثم بعد ذلك إذا الإنسان إذا بويع خليفة مبايعة شرعية وشخص ما رضي به تمرد عليه ثم لم يتب حتى مات، من مات وليس في عنقه بيعة ما رضي أن يبايعه، قال هذا ليس خليفة علي بعد أن ثبتت الخلافة لهذا الرجل، يكون مات ميتة شبيهة بميتة الجاهليين، يعني أيضا على حال سيئة. The second part of the hadith means if the caliph, if someone becomes a caliph in the proper way, and a person does not want to acknowledge that, and he says, I don't want to obey him. I don't consider him as a caliph. I don't want to give him allegiance. Then this person remains on this situation without repenting until he dies. Then he also will be in a bad situation. His death will be similar to the death of the blasphemous people in the era of Al-Jahiliyyah. هذا الحديث رواه مسلم وغيره. This hadith is narrated by Muslim and others. لذلك قال علماء أهل السنة الخليفة لو ظلم لا يقاتل لخلعه لا يخرج عليه لخلعه. This is why the scholars of Ahl al-Sunnah said, even if the caliph commits injustice, then people are not permitted to fight him, to take him out of his position. لأن هذا يتسبب في ضرر كثير, because this causes a lot of harm. إنما لا يطاع في المعصية. Of course, if he orders to do something which is sinful, one should not obey him. But one does not revolt against him to take him out of his position. إذا كان الظالم لا يجوز الخروج عليه, كيف يكون الخروج على مثل علي رضي الله عنه؟ If it is not permissible to revolt against the caliph who is unjust, so how would be the judgment of revolting against Ali or someone like him? فإذا فارق الإنسان الجماعة سواء كان المقصود بالجماعة الإجماع أو كان المقصود بالجماعة طاعة الخليفة, فهذه الفرقة تسبب ضررا عظيما ويكون الشخص في حال سيئة ويستحق عذاب الله في الآخرة. So if one deviates from al-jama'ah, whether the consensus is meant by al-jama'ah or the obedience to the righteous caliph is meant, in either cases, the one who leaves out al-jama'ah would be in a very bad situation and deserves on the day of judgment the torture of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. يعني إذا خال يعني إذا خالف الإنسان أصول العقيدة المقطوعة بها التي وقع الإجماع عليها, هذا يكون من الفرقة المذمومة التي عنيت هنا. So if one goes against the basics of the belief that all the Muslims have consensus upon them, then this person would be falling in this ill deviation that we are talking about. كذلك إذا خالف في حكم من الأحكام دليلا متفقا على كونه دليلا شرعيا. Likewise, if he gives a religious judgment against a religious proof which is considered by consensus a religious proof, then he would be falling into this bad deviation. May Allah protect us from that. بعض الناس يفعل هذا. Some people they do that. إما بأن يدعي مرتبة هو ليس أهلا لها وإما بالعناد. Some people they do that. Either by claiming that he has a status in the knowledge while really he doesn't reach that status, so he talks without knowledge, really. Or by being stubborn. He knows the truth and he does not want to adhere to it. He does not want to leave out what he said before that. Some people are like that. قال رحمه الله ودين الله في الأرض والسماء واحد وهو دين الإسلام قال الله تعالى إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وقال تعالى ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. The author said, the religion of Allah on earth and in the heavens is one. It is the religion of Islam. Allah Ta'ala said in the 19th verse of Surah Al-Imran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. It means certainly the only religion accepted by Allah is Islam. And he said in the third verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. It means I, that is Allah, accepted Islam as the religion for you. الدين الوحيد المقبول عند الله هو الإسلام. The only accepted religion by Allah is Islam. هو الدين الوحيد الصحيح. It is the only valid religion. أهل السماء عن الملائكة هذا دينهم. The inhabitants of the skies, I mean the angels, this is the religion, Islam. والمؤمنون من الجن والإنس من أهل الأرض هذا دينهم. And the believers among the jinn and humans on earth believe in Islam. This is the religion. فهو الدين الصحيح المقبول عند الله كما بينت هاتان الآيتان. It is the only valid religion accepted, the only religion accepted by Allah, as it is clear by these two aforementioned verses. وقديما بعد آدم عليه السلام في زمن آدم عليه السلام كان الناس كلهم على دين الإسلام. During the time of Adam عليه السلام, all the people followed Islam. كذلك في زمن ولده شيث. Likewise during the time of his son شيث. كذلك في زمن نبي الله إدريس. Likewise after that during the time of Prophet إدريس. وإنما حدث الكفر في البشر بعد موت إدريس عليه السلام. The first time blasphemy occurred among human beings was after Idris عليه السلام died. فالدين الوحيد الذي المقبول عند الله الذي هو دين كل الأنبياء هو الإسلام. The only religion accepted by Allah. And it is the religion of all the prophets من آدم إلى محمد, starting with Adam up till Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, is the religion of Islam. قال رحمه الله وهو بين الغلو والتقصير. The author said, Islam lies between exceeding the proper limits and falling short of what is required. لأن يعني أن دين الإسلام ما فيه غلو ولا فيه تقصير. He means by that the religion of Islam does not contain anything that exceeds the proper boundaries and does not contain any judgment that falls short. قال وبين التشبيه والتعطيل. The author said, between likening Allah to the creation and denying some or all of Allah's attributes. فمن الدين الاعتقاد بأن الله ذات موصوف بصفات. So among the basics of the Islamic creed is to believe that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is a self attributed with attributes. لكن ذات الله لا يشبه ذوات غيره. But the self of Allah does not resemble other selves. وصفات الله لا تشبه صفات غيره. The attributes of Allah do not resemble the attributes of others, of the creation. لا ننفي الصفات كما فعل بعض الناس ولا نشبهها بصفات الخلق كما فعل آخرون. We do not deny the attributes of Allah as some people did, and we do not liken these attributes to the attributes of the creation like others did. قال وبين الجبر والقدر. The author said, between جبر and denying قدر. يعني أن اعتقاد المسلمين أن العبد ليس مجبرا على أفعاله بغير إرادة منه, يفعلها تحصل بغير إرادة منه, ولا هو مستقل بها بحيث إنه يوجدها هو من العدم إلى الوجود, إنما العبد يكتسبها بإرادته وخالقها هو الله تبارك وتعالى. Also the Islamic creed does not go to the extreme of denying al-qadr and does not go to the other extreme of al-jabr, because the creed of Islam says that the slave does his deeds with his intention. So the Islamic creed does not deny the intention of the slave or the power of the slave. But on the other hand, it says that the slave does not create his deeds. Rather, the slave acquires his deeds, and the one who creates them is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وهذا الكلام من الطحاوي يدل على أن المشبهة ليسوا مسلمين, كما أن المعطلة ليسوا مسلمين, وعلى أن الجبرية ليسوا مسلمين, كما أن القدرية منكر القدر ليسوا مسلمين. And this statement of الطحاوي indicates clearly that those who liken Allah to the creations are not Muslims, just as those who deny the attributes of Allah are not Muslims. Those who deny al-qadr are not Muslims, just as those who deny the power and the intention of the slave are not Muslims. كما سبق وبينا. We already explained that. لكن هنا الطحاوي يبين ذلك لأنه يقول الإسلام بين هذا وهذا. إذن لا هذا هو الإسلام ولا هذا هو الإسلام. هذا خروج عن الإسلام كما أن هذا خروج عن الإسلام. Because الطحاوي says Islam is between this and this. So this one would be going out of Islam and the other extreme would be going out of Islam. قال المؤلف وبين الأمن والإياس. The author said, and between feeling safe from Allah's punishment and feeling despair of Allah's mercy. لأن الإسلام يحث العبد أن يكون بين الخوف والرجاء. Because Islam encourages or orders the slave to be between these two situations. One would fear the torture of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and at the same time one hopes of the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَأَمَّا إِذَا فَسَّرْنَا الْأَمْنَ وَالْإِيَاسِ على ما قال الماتريدية فيكون أيضا الأمن والطحاوي حنفي موافق للماتريدية فيكون المقصود بالأمن والإياس هنا أمران مخرجان من الإسلام. Now if we take in consideration that الطحاوي was a حنفي and that he said that he would use the statement, do you remember what he said at the beginning of his work? He would use the statement, the technical terms used by Al-Imam Abu Hanifa and his students, then we would come to the result that what he means here by Al-Amn and Al-Iyas, by feeling safe and feeling despair, he means two matters that are blasphemous matters. لأن الحنفية يفسرون الأمن بالذي يعتقد أن المعصية لا تضر. الذين يقولون لا يضر مع الإيمان ذنب. ويفسرون الإياس من رحمة الله في الذي يعتقد أن الله لا يغفر له ولو تاب. وهذا كفر وهذا كفر. Now the Hanafis or the Maturidis, when they use these two terms, Al-Amn and Al-Iyas, Al-Amn, which you might translate it by feeling safe, they mean by it for one to say that sinning does not make any harm to the person, does not harm the person at all. As long as the person is a believer, as much as he sins and disobeys the orders of Allah, this does not cause him any harm. This is a blasphemous statement. And when they say al-iyas, which you might translate it by being despair of the mercy of Allah, they mean by that for one to believe that Allah does not forgive his sins even if one repents in the proper way as Allah ordered. It's obvious for you that these two types of beliefs, these two extremes are blasphemy. And this is why he said that Islam lies between these two. أما الشافعية فيفسرون الأمن والإياس بتفسير آخر. Now in the terminology of the Shafi'is, when they use the term أمن or إياس, they mean other things by that. وأما من حيث الحكم يتفقون مع الحنفية. Now as far as the judgment is concerned, there is no difference in opinions between them. لكن العبارات تختلف, but the terminology, the technical terms differ between them. لأن الشافعية أيضا يقولون الذي يقول لا يضر مع الإيمان ذنب كافر, because also the Shafi'is say if one says sinning does not cause any harm to the person is a blasphemer. وكذلك يقولون الذي يقول التوبة على الوجه الصحيح لا تنفع أيضا كافر. Also they say if anyone says that repenting in the proper way does not benefit the sinner is also a blasphemer. So they agree, both of them, on the judgment. Just the terminology is different. قال رحمه الله, the author said, فهذا ديننا واعتقادنا ظاهرا وباطنا. This is our religion and our creed, outwardly and inwardly. وبين بذلك, أراد بذلك الطحاوي أن يبين أنه لا بد من موافقة الباطن للظاهر في الاعتقاد. الطحاوي wanted to say by that it is a must that one holds in his heart the proper belief, the proper Islamic belief, as he utters the proper statements about this belief. أما إذا تظاهر بالإسلام وباطنه بغض الدين, بغض الإسلام, فهذا هو المنافق. Now if he claims to be Muslim while inside he hates Islam, this would be the hypocrite, المنافق. وهو عند الله لا يكون مسلما. And the hypocrite is not a Muslim. لو نحن اعتبرناه مسلما, لكن الله يعلم حقيقته. Even if we consider him a Muslim, because we go according to the apparent situation, Allah knows his real creed and his real conviction. قال رحمه الله ونحن براء إلى الله من كل من خالف الذي ذكرناه وبيناه. The author said, with Allah as our witness, we disavow ourselves from whoever disagrees with what we have mentioned and clarified. لأن من خالف قواعد الإيمان القطعية فهو مبتدع, إما وصل إلى حد الكفر أو لم يصل إلى حد الكفر لكنه مبتدع. Because the one who went astray from the issues of the creed, Islamic creed, that are supported with the certain proofs, is a misguided person, whether he reached the level of blasphemy or not. In both cases, he is misguided. He is misguided. ونحن براء إلى الله من ذلك. ماذا قلت؟ لا أعوذ بالله. هذا سبق لسان. ونحن براء إلى الله من ذلك. And we disavow ourselves from that. كل ما خالف عقيدة أهل السنة نحن براء إلى الله منه. every single matter that disagrees with the creed of Ahl-Sunnah, we disavow ourselves from it. قال رحمه الله ونسأل الله تعالى أن يثبتنا على الإيمان ويختم لنا به ويعصمنا من الأهواء المختلفة والآراء المتفرقة والمذاهب الردية مثل المشبهة والمعتزلة والجهمية والجبرية والقدرية وغيرهم من الذين خالفوا السنة والجماعة وحالفوا الضلالة ونحن منهم براء وهم عندنا ضلال وأردياء وبالله العصمة والتوفيق. Then الطحاوي ended his work with making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said, was making dua and again disavow himself from the people of misguidance. He said, we ask Allah ta'ala to help us, to keep us resolute in our faith and to end our lives with it. We ask Him to protect us from the various evil inclinations, scattered opinions, and wicked doctrines, such as those of the Mushabbiha, Mu'tazila, Jahmiya, Jabriya, Qadariya, and others who contradicted the Sunnah and Jama'ah. And clung to misguidance. We disavow ourselves from them. We consider them deviant and wicked. We rely on Allah to protect us from sinning and to empower us with obedience. بهذا نأتي إلى ختام شرح هذه العقيدة المفيدة. جزا الله مؤلفها جزاء حسنا. By this we get to the end of the explanation of beneficial work, beneficial creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. May Allah reward the author of this creed greatly. في الماضي لكن ألفت انتباهكم إلى أمر. Let me draw your attention to one thing, one more thing. شرح هذه العقيدة شارح زائغ. In the past, a misguided person, claimed to explain this creed of الطحاوي. يقال له ابن أبي العز. This person is called Ibn Abi al-Izz. ينسب نفسه إلى المذهب الحنفي. He used to say about himself that he was a Hanafi person. يسمونه ابن أبي العز الحنفي. Some people call him Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi. وهو ماشٍ على طريقة ابن تيمية. Really, he was following the steps of Ibn Taymiyyah. In every misguided statement Ibn Taymiyyah said, pertaining the issues mentioned by al-Tahawi, Ibn Abi al-Izz introduced it in his explanation. كل مسألة ابن تيمية ضل فيها لها علاقة بشرح بالطحاوية ابن أبي العز أدخلها في هذا الشرح. فانتبهوا منه واحذروه. Be aware of this explanation. Al-Wahhabiyya min mudda taba'uhu. Sometime ago the Wahhabis printed this work. So be aware about it. انتبهوا منه. أما ما نحن قلناه فقد جاء بحمد الله موافقا لعقيدة أهل السنة. As for what we mentioned, it is alhamdulillah in compliance with the creed of أهل السنة والجماعة. ثبتنا الله عليها. May Allah make us steadfast to this creed. وتوفانا الله عليها. May Allah make us die as people adhering to the creed of أهل السنة والجماعة. غدا إن شاء الله تعالى عندنا درس مهم في الصباح فأرجو أن لا يفوته أحد منكم. Tomorrow إن شاء الله we'll have an important class in the morning, so don't escape tonight, don't run away tonight. You will miss it. Don't miss it. I advise you not to miss it. Allah yubariku fikum. But I wanted to finish first At-Tahawiyya, and then, because it's another topic, and then we will to talk about it. If you have any questions, go ahead. إذا كان لأحد عنده سؤال فليتفضل. تفضل صالح. أيوة. يعني بريئون. أحيانا النسخ تختلف، المعنى واحد. أنا أحفظها براء، هكذا سمعتها من الشيخ وهكذا قرأتها، لكن يعني أحيانا النسخ تختلف. براء بفتح الراء جمع بريء. تفضل خالد. Of course. Now, these are a minority.
But when they say that, how do they explain what he did and said in Al-Quran, which was
Definitely from Wahhab? Yeah. They say, okay, this is a good question. Khalid is saying some scholars said that although they are a minority, but some Sunni scholars said that Al-Khadir was a wali and he was not a nabi. Okay, this is not the saying which is the strong saying, but despite that, these scholars, how did they manage with these statements mentioned in Al-Quran and the hadith that show that Al-Khadir did not do these things out of himself? The answer is, they said that a prophet told him about these matters. قالوا نبي من الأنبياء يكون أخبره عن هذه الأشياء. They said, قالوا لابد. They said, for sure this is the case. نبي من الأنبياء أخبره أنه يحصل معه كذا يحصل معه كذا. A prophet would tell him, told him that this is what's going to happen with him, etc. تفضل. للضرورة العثمانيون للضرورة. للضرورة. Someone might ask, then how the Ottomans were ruling if they were not from Quraysh? The Ottomans were not from Quraysh. At their times there was a necessity, which means if anyone wanted to put them out of power, if anyone would say, let the Ottoman Sultan give the power to so and so from Quraysh, then a big tribulation would occur. The supporters of the Sultan wouldn't let him do that. Yeah. And they might kill him if they knew he would do it. So that's why they did not give the power to someone from Quraysh, they knew about the situation, that it wouldn't be easy to do that. Some of them, they did not go to Al-Hajj. They died without going to Al-Hajj because they didn't want to leave the capital, because they were worried. If they just leave the capital, go to Al-Hajj, then things will fall apart in their absence. So they thought, okay, we will not go to Al-Hajj, we will die without going to Al-Hajj, but let things keep going straight. So how if one of them would say, I want to give up power to so and so from Quraysh? Wow. Yeah, تفضل. Which details? Because the people lived through this these incidents, and they told what happened with them, and this was documented by trustworthy scholars who transmitted their documents, were transmitted to us through a trustworthy chain of narrators. So through telling what happened orally and through written documents, this is how we knew about it. You would be... And another thing, I don't know how to say this, I will say it. The people at that time, they differed from us in certain aspects. They had a very strong memory. They could memorize. For example, I'll tell you something. A person like Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he would hear a poem, a whole poem, one time, and that would be enough for him to memorize it and then say it again without any mistake. Not just him, many people were like that during that time. So that helped them to remember the details and document the details, not just the general actions, but the details properly. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, for example, memorized, it is said that he memorized 1 million narrations with the chains. And how did they know that? Some great scholars of hadith, they reviewed with him. They sat and they were reviewing and they were astonished. Because this was their habit. It is a habit that we don't have it nowadays. They would sit together and one of them would ask the other, what do you memorize from the route of this person about this hadith? And he would tell him, okay, this so-and-so told me that so-and-so told him, etc. And he goes through the route of that person, and then he might mention two or three hadiths. Then another one in the session would say, oh, I know one that you didn't mention. And he goes and he mentions another narration. And another one would say, I know one that you don't know. And he would go and mention another narration. This is how they were. So that helped them to memorize properly the details. Not just that. I don't want to go a lot into that, but I'll mention one more thing. It's not just that. The scholars of hadith were very very thorough and precise people, experts, researchers. They were not just people who collect narrations. Not just that. For example, one of them would narrate a hadith from the route of so and so, okay? From the A, person A. Then they would compare his narrations to the narrations of another person B. And then they would compare this to the narrations of a third person C, and then to a fourth person D, and to a fifth person E. And then they would decide from that, it becomes clear for them that, oh, it seems that all the narrations, they are... close to each other, except with the narrations of so-and-so, always he has something different from the others. About the same hadith, the same incident, or the same statement. Oh, then, okay, this person, we need to be cautious about his narrations, etc. It's a huge work that they did. It needs people who are very sharp to do it, very knowledgeable, with a lot of knowledge and a good memory, etc. It's much, much faster than a computer. Much, much faster than a computer. Those are the people that we are talking about. That's how they could keep all these details. For example, let me give you something. One thing. Ibn Asakir, he wrote a book about the history of Damascus. Okay? So he talked in this book about Damascus. Damascus is how many city? One city. Okay. So he wrote a book about the history of Damascus. Ibn Asakir died in the 6th Hijri century. Okay? So, he wrote a book about the history of Damascus. He talked about Damascus. About, the history of the city itself. And when it was built, and how it was built, and who are the people who inhabited this city, and the streets of the city, the walls of the city, the rulers of the city, the people who inhabited the, it's many things. Okay. Then he started talking about each person, each famous person, whether he was a scholar, a ruler, a poet, or a merchant sometimes, a leader, a politician, each famous person who inhabited Damascus or passed by it and spent some time in it. And all of this, every single issue he mentioned with his chain of narrators. Everything about that. Everything. So his book came in 70 volumes. And it is printed. Nowadays they printed it completely in 70 volumes. It's there, printed. You can see it with your eyes in 70 volumes. And everything he narrated there with his chains of narrators, this is talking about not just that. And then after mentioning the person and talking about the person, etc., and everything about the person with the chains of narrators, he would mention if this person narrated a hadith from the Prophet, at least he would narrate, he would try to narrate a hadith through the, that its chain goes through that person from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is amazing. When you think about it, now Ibn Asakir authored, other than this book, about 50 other books. When you think about this, you'd say, wow. You don't know how. Likewise, Ibn al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, when he authored the history of Baghdad, it is printed in 10 volumes with small letters. In 10 volumes with small letters, he died at the beginning of the 5th Hijri century. He authored his book almost in the same way that Ibn Asakir did, in 10 volumes. Everything he mentioned there with his chains of narrators. When you think, for example, about Al-Bayhaqi, okay, Al-Bayhaqi, this is another amazing person. You think about him, he authored a book about the merits of Al-Shafi'i, okay? Everything he mentioned there, he mentioned with his chains of narrators. You would say, okay, well, this book is printed in 2 volumes. It's not too much. Tayyib. He authored another book about the statements of Al-Shafi'i, only the statements, the judgments that Al-Shafi'i gave pertaining one aspect, one field in the matters of the religion. And everything he mentioned there from Al-Shafi'i is with a continuous chain of narrators. Okay, you might think, okay, this only comes in one volume. It's printed in one volume. It's not too much. Then he authored another book about the judgments that Al-Shafi'i gave, where there are differences in opinions between Al-Shafi'i and other mujtahids. And he would produce there what Al-Shafi'i said in supporting his ijtihad. And all of that with continuous chains of narrators. So again, you would think, okay, this is printed in 6-7 volumes. It depends. It's not too much. Add them. We're talking only about Al-Shafi'i until now. Just about one person. Just about one person. And we got to... He authored more than that. I will not keep going. He authored, as Hajj Ali said, As-Sunan al-Kubra, the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but in the same, the order, the titles are in compliance with the books of the Shafi'i. And it is printed in 10 big volumes with letters, small letters, like that, all of them with continuous chains of narrators. You think, and then he authored, he explained one hadith of the Prophet, one hadith, with a book. Now it was printed in 8 volumes. One hadith. And all the explanation, all what he mentioned, was with a continuous chain of narrators. This is amazing. These are the people who wrote the history of the Muslims. It's not like anyone. At-Tabari, for example, Al-Hafiz At-Tabari, you hear about Tariq At-Tabari. He authored a book in history. He died in the 4th Hijri century. In the beginning, that is 300 something, he died. He told his students, I want to recite, that is, I say and you write, okay? To dictate the history since Adam alayhi salam up till now to you. His students, some of them asked how much that would be, how many papers that would be. He said about 120,000 papers. They said, we will die before finishing it. What is that? So he made a summary of that. His famous book, which is printed also now, is a summary of what he memorized. And this summary is printed in about 12 volumes. This is a summary, 12 big volumes with small letters, that he dictated all of that with the chains of narrators. And it is not, and let me draw again your attention here, it's not something that one can come up with it, all these chains, etc. Because the other scholars of hadith are waiting there to compare his narrations to the narrations of others. And do they comply with the other narrations or not? This is something amazing. And you would find, for example, I don't want to go farther, but these are the people who wrote our history. Not, for example, what's his name or her name, I don't want to mention now names, who wrote whatever, or who found a piece of wood or a piece of stone, and then based on that he would also imagine a whole consequence of events, etc. This is not how our history was written. Step by step, in this way. What did I wanted to mention? Something when I was talking, I forgot. MashaAllah. Naam, tafaddal. One moment, please. One time, Harun and Rashid, one misguided person was brought to him. He did a lot of harm, and he pretended, he claimed to be a Muslim while he was an atheist. And he did a lot of harm. So Harun wanted to kill him. The caliph wanted to kill him. He told him, well, if you kill me, then there are 4,000 hadith I claimed, I spread among the people, that these are hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. And he did not say any hadith among them. So if you kill me, I wouldn't tell you what these hadith are. He wanted to stay alive. He said that too. So he wouldn't be killed. The eye of Harun al-Rashid did not blink. He told him, well, there is this scholar of hadith. He mentioned two scholars of hadith, that they will be enough to know all of them and protect the people from this. And then he ordered them to be killed. That's how things were. This is the level of knowledge that they attended. And these are the people who transmitted to us the rules of the religion, the sayings of the Prophet, and the events that happened in the past. Yes, right.
كان هدف الطحاوي أن يذكر
يعني من حيث الجملة الطحاوي من حيث الجملة هذا مواده، ولا ينفي أنه أحيانا قد يذكر شيئا مختلفا فيه، فيعلم ذلك من القواعد. وبك I don't know. From misunderstanding, I think some of them just by imitating others, and some maybe by misunderstanding a hadith among the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Sayyida Aisha asked the Prophet, sometimes we get meat from people who embraced Al-Islam recently. So, do we eat from them? She said, we do not know. When they slaughtered the sheep or the goat or the like, did they mention Allah or not? So, do we eat from them? The Prophet ﷺ said, سَمُّوا اللَّهَ أَنْتُمْ وَكُلُوا. He told her, you say Bismillah and eat. So, maybe they misunderstood this hadith. Maybe. But this hadith talks about people who are Muslims, who slaughtered, but Aisha did not know, did they say Bismillah or not when they slaughtered. So it's a totally different case than this one. But maybe because of this hadith, they got confused, some of them. They wanted to rely on themselves instead of learning from qualified people, and they misunderstood the hadith. Maybe. Fiikum. يعني بعضهم قال الإجماع يكون الإجماع الذي ورد في الشرع يكون عن الأمور الدينية فقط، وبعضهم قال في كل شيء. الله أعلم. الله أعلم. الله أعلم. نعم. No, we don't know exactly how many years passed from Adam until now. We don't know. أيوة هو الحافظ ابن عساكر كان له 1,200 شيخ أو 300 شيخ ونحو وأكثر من 80 شيخة. Yes, ابن عساكر, he took the knowledge from 1200 or 1300 شيخ and more than 80 female شيخة, يعني female teacher, more than 80 female teacher. Yeah. One time he was with another scholar because they used to travel from one city to another, from one place to another, seeking the knowledge. They were traveling and they met a famous sheikh on the road. His friend was very happy. He said, I always wanted to read a book on this sheikh. There he is. Now I got the chance. I couldn't reach him before. I got the chance to do that. He got back to his things. He didn't find the book with him that he wanted to read on that sheikh. So he got very sad. Now the man is there and he misses the opportunity. So Ibn Asakir found that he became very sad. He told him, why are you so sad? He said, I cannot find the book. He said, which book did you want to read on him? He said, such and such book. He said, don't worry, I memorized it, come. And they went to the Sheikh, and Ibn Asakir started to recite just by heart the whole book, and that one was hearing, etc., and he got it. That's an example how, and they were walking on the traveling. And that's how they were. That's how they were. Subhanallah. Nah? ابن المقري صح
الكلمات يعني
أكثر من خمس كتب
خمس كتب في كتاب واحد يعني
طيب أشياء من أمور الدنيا ما لها علاقة بالدين أحيانا بعض الأمور ما لها علاقة بالقواعد الشرعية بالأحكام الشرعية مباشرة مثل هيك نعم أخي محمد
عيسو بن عبد السلام
نعم
لما ألف عقيدته
نعم
هل كان الحاكم في ذلك الوقت أصبح من المشرك كان من المشرك
في وقت من الأوقات نعم كان رباه إنسان مشبه فألقى إليه التشبيه وهذا الحاكم يظن أن هكذا هو الدين ثم بسبب حادثته مع العز بعد ذلك رجع عن هذا صحيح طيب بارك الله فيكم نهلل لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بارك الله بكم